great joys that I've been gifted with in getting to know and working with Jimmy is being able to see Jackson Hole through fresh eyes. I've been here long enough that I take certain things for granted, and Jimmy has pointed out that everything about Jackson Hole is exaggerated, right? The scenery, the people, the seasons. And I'm really aware of the change of seasons, and you know, it seems like we wait forever for summer to get here, and then suddenly it's summer, and then it snows. And I'm always a little surprised when I look up and suddenly the solstice is upon us, and even though it's high summer, in a couple of days the days are going to start getting shorter again. And we all know what that means. And with the passage of seasons comes the passage of time, the passage of years, and we all know what that means too. And maybe it means different things for different people. It could mean that if you're young, just like the summer vegetation and the summer crops were coming into full maturity, if we're on the other end of the spectrum of age, it could mean that we're in decline and that precious time is slipping away. We can view time as an enemy or as a friend. Life has this linear aspect to it. We start out small, innocent, helpless, and over the years we grow, we lose our innocence, we gain knowledge and experience, and we become active agents in the world. And if we're fortunate enough to live long enough, towards the end of our lives, we start to lose some of the gains that we have made, and our powers begin to wane. The arrow of time runs in one direction, at least in this human life as we know it, and there's no turning back. It's part of the reason that life is so precious and mysterious. It's because of the passage of time. Now, I think one of the beautiful things that we recognize in the church is the cyclical nature of our life on earth. These incredible seasons that we're blessed with. Spring turns into summer, turns into fall, turns into winter, turns into spring, turns into summer, and on and on. And we're blessed also in the church with this beautiful liturgical calendar. Advent, then Christmas, Epiphany, Lent, Easter, Pentecost, the season that we're in now, over and over and over again. And if you're focused on the arrow of your life, that linear aspect of your life, you might describe this life as a journey from birth to the grave and beyond, a journey with each other, with God. But maybe if you pay close attention to the circles of the season and your movement through them as they swirl around you, you might describe our lives together with God as a dance. I'm seeing our lives together as God with a dance more and more, and that's making me happy. Because what do we do when we dance? Well, we respond to the music. We hold each other tightly or loosely, and sometimes we stumble, and sometimes we're graceful, but we're always moving in and with God, God in whom we live and move and have our being, according to Paul. What got me thinking about time and seasons and the dance we are all dancing is the coming of the middle of summer and the coming of a new season in our church year. It's called the season of Pentecost, and it's the season of the coming of the Holy Spirit. It's the season we're called to recognize how the Spirit is moving through the world and moving through our lives. And I want to say dancing through our lives in the form of wind and flames, language, and the warmth of summer. And we, as the church, give this season, which lasts a better part of 6 months, a second, more ordinary name. We call the season of Pentecost ordinary time. It's really because we count the Sundays between Pentecost and Advent, and we number them. And if you remember from high school math, the counting numbers are the ordinal numbers, hence ordinary time. But I really love the play on words that's going on here too, that this long, warm season of Pentecost, in this long season, maybe we can relax a little bit, kick back and enjoy the ordinariness of our lives, the day-to-dayness of our lives, the commonality of our lives together. Because there's something very holy in the ordinary, and I think that it's easy to miss this, because in the daily chores that we all do every day out of necessity, the dishes, the laundry, mow the lawn, shuttle the kids around, stand in line at the grocery store, the things that can seem like wastes of time, things that get in the way of what we really want to be doing. But when I get lost in the busyness of life, I can miss out on the holiness of life. I start to feel like those crowds that Jesus talks about today, that Jesus had compassion for. I start feeling harassed and helpless, like a sheep without a shepherd. But if we look to Jesus as the good shepherd, what can we learn about what is really important? In other words, what should we really be doing with our lives? Well, here's what Jesus says today. Proclaim the good news. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Sounds like another list of things to do, doesn't it? Now I've not only got to do the laundry and the dishes and shuttle the kids, but I've also got to cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, and cast out demons. Let's try to put this in perspective. Annie Dillard, a brilliant writer who also happens to be a Christian, has said, "How we spend our days is, of course, how we spend our lives." Now, what I hear her saying is, better make every day count, because when they're all counted up, what you have done with your days is how you have spent your one precious life. So you may not be able to cure the sick, but if you've done the dishes and the laundry, you've practiced humility. If you've shuttled the kids through traffic in Jackson in the middle of June and haven't blown your cool, you've practiced patience and humility. Even if you can't cleanse the lepers, but you manage to help a tourist who can't speak English find the Hong Kong buffet, you've made yourself vulnerable and kind. And if you've gotten your teenager up and out the door in time to get to their summer job, from personal experience, I can say that you have raised the dead. So I want to encourage us all today to take this season of ordinary time and hold ourselves and hold each other gently, and to recognize how extraordinary and holy our ordinary human lives are, and to recognize the opportunities to simply do the best we can. If we spend our days awake and attentive to opportunities to work with the Holy Spirit in the world, our lives will become richer and fuller, and in the end, they will be lives well spent. And don't you love the fact that in our sacraments, these holy mysteries of communion and baptism, both of which we get to participate in today, we use the most elemental things imaginable as signs of God's grace. We'll baptize coral today with water, the most common substance on earth, and we'll welcome her as beloved of God into our family. Then we'll all have a meal together, a simple meal of bread and wine, ordinary things made extraordinary by God, all for our benefit, that we might receive grace. Dishes, laundry, lawn, kids, grocery store, all places where the Holy Spirit is moving, inviting us to join in, to make our ordinary lives holy and extraordinary, like bread and wine and water, ordinary and holy. Amen.